Welcome to the Born in the 80s podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dyer. This week I'll be talking about 28 Weeks Later, SWG, and I have a little discussion with Kami from Commute. First up, I'll get into 28 Weeks Later. This movie is a sequel to 28 Days Later, the zombie-ish flick. It's zombies, it's also kind of a plague disease type movie. My first thoughts about the film was it was pretty good. It was a high-paced, very action-oriented movie. You almost kind of forget it's a zombie movie at points because it's so action-packed. It seems more of an action movie at points, but it's really, really and a very exciting movie to watch. The thing that kind of I don't like about the movie was I don't really like horror movies or any movies about like kids being the main characters, because usually they're really annoying and things like that. Also, something I didn't really like was they didn't use any of the actors from the first movie, which I thought that would have been cool. But you kind of forget about that shortly into the movie. So the main plot is you start off with a guy and his wife in a house, and he leaves his wife to the zombies because they trap her in a room and he escapes and runs away. Well, then it's fast forward to 28 weeks later where the zombie outbreak died out because they ran out of food, and the American government has come in and cleared out whatever zombies that were left and made like a safety zone in London. And the guy who left his wife is there, and people are coming back into the country, which I really didn't understand. If there was a zombie outbreak in America and I was out of America, I wouldn't want to come back, even if they said it was over. But that's just me. But anyways, people are coming back, and his two kids were out of the country, so they were coming back, and he meets up with them, and they discuss what happened to their mother and things like that. And shortly into the movie, the kids get sick for home, so they escape the safety area and go searching for their house. And in their house, they find their mother, like, crazy and whatever. And the army comes and gets them and captures the mother. And you find out that the mother has some weird genetic thing where she's bitten, she's a carrier, but she doesn't really show too many signs of it. And for some reason, the main character in the movie, he's like a maintenance guy and like helps with the reconstruction and stuff like that. But somehow he has like a pass card that gets him into any building everywhere. So he even gets into like government type stuff. So he breaks into the lab where they're keeping his wife. He says he's sorry and all that kind of stuff. And he like kisses her, and by doing that it transferred the virus to him. And the new outbreak starts, everything goes to hell. So basically the rest of the movie continues with the guy, zombified guy, trying to hunt down his children and kill them. And the children try to go, like, run away and stuff like that. And one of the medical scientists figures out, well, these kids are the key to the cure to the virus and all that, and they have to be protected and all that kind of stuff. So they try to escape. They pick up some people here and there. There's, like, a sharpshooter guy who refuses to kill civilians and wants to help out. And they continue on. They run into their dad, a couple things like that. Ends up one of the kids gets bitten, and he has the genetic thing, so he carries it, but he doesn't show any signs of being a zombie. And they end up getting out and into France, and at the end of the movie you see Paris and zombies running around everywhere under the Eiffel Tower, and that's where the movie ends. And it's obviously there's going to be a 28 months later, I'm sure, or they'll do something like that, which I'm not really opposed to, because 28 Days Later was a pretty good movie and 28 Weeks Later was pretty good as well. So if they can keep up the quality of the movie and keep it, you know, high action pace, it's pretty cool. And I gotta say, I thought It was a pretty good, a little bit scary kind of movie, but my girlfriend was like clutching my arm throughout the entire fucking hour and a half, and she had like nightmares after it. So it does have an effect on people, and I would recommend everybody go check it out. It's worth the price of a ticket. I'm really into zombies, and it also made me think a little bit. Is like, I'm one of those guys that's read the Zombie Survival Guide, World War Z, seen tons of zombie movies. And you always have this kind of like plan, what if zombies really attack, what you would do. And the thing that is like the big difference between these little plans you have is I think there's basically three types of zombies. There's your George Romano type zombies, you know, Night of the Living Dead, very stupid, very slow. Well, then you also have your Resident Evil type of zombies, where it's a mix of Romano type zombies, and then like mutated zombie monster type things. And then there's this third one is 28 weeks later, 28 days later, the type of running zombie that's just fucking crazy and can climb and all that other stuff. So if there is ever a zombie outbreak, I hope it's the George Romano kind, because the other kinds, you're fucked. Started playing a game this week. It's Star Wars Galaxies, and this I've never played it before. I never played it before the NGE or New Game Engine, if people don't know. But I've heard this game fucking sucks. It's like the worst thing ever. It just pisses you off. All this other kind of stuff. And I must admit, it's really not as bad as what people say it is. There are a lot of problems with it, I won't deny. Like, low server loads. Basically, they could combine most of their servers. They could probably have maybe like four servers and be fine. Because right now I'm on a medium load server, and it's like one of the most popular. And you don't really see that many people. I mean, you see some, but not really. Also, since a lot of servers are depopulated, the whole bazaar system is kind of, I won't say broken, but it's like there's not shit on it, basically. It's hard to find ship chassis, droid deeds, anything like that. Anything. The only thing you can find in plenty is usually like material or weapons, but not even the type of weapons you need. Also, there's a decent amount of bugs and quests that are broken and things like that, which really surprised me because this game's been out for quite a while, and a lot of stuff seems broken or very unpolished, which is very surprising to me. Also, the lag on the game can get unbearable, and I'm well above the system requirements for it, and I have a pretty good internet connection, so I'm not really sure what that's all about. But the game has some fun parts. It basically has two parts to it. It's your ground character and your space character. Your space character, you're always in a ship. It's like a totally different experience system than what your ground character is, which is pretty interesting because if you get bored of grinding down on the planet, shooting rats or whatever, you can come up into space, your ship, you can pimp it out, you can, you know, go on space missions, which is pretty cool. Another thing that's pretty cool is it feels very spacious. The planets feel big. Space feels pretty big. And the travel is pretty good. You can get places pretty quickly, which I like. On the other side I don't like is it doesn't really have a lot of planets. I mean, the planets seem big and everything, but if you think about the Star Wars universe, and I'm a big fan of the Star Wars universe, they only have a couple of planets, which is kind of disappointing. You know, but what can you really do? Also, the whole profession system they have now is it's they dumbed it down from what it was before, which I don't really like. I like a lot of diversified classes, and some of their classes seem kind of boring and very similar and things like that. Another downside about the game is the thing about MMOs is a lot of things aren't self-explanatory. You have to go out and find information about it. And you have, you know, third-party websites that provide that sort of information. But the problem is that since the game was pretty much redesigned and recreated a couple of years ago, it's hard to find a website that has all new stuff. Usually there's a lot of old stuff, or old stuff is mixed in where you can't tell the difference between the two, which is really hard for a new player. Also, there's so many abandoned player cities, it's unreal. And I think they're doing some sort of thing at the end of the month where they'll be destroying these abandoned buildings and stuff like that, and you can get experience points for it, which might be kind of cool, I don't really know. It depends how they do it. But the community seems pretty strong, whatever community is still left. There's pretty much a lot of nice people that will help you out. When I first got into the game, some guy gave me... He came up to me and goes, "Hey, pick anything..." He's like, "Are you a new player?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Pick anything out from the bazaar that you need." I couldn't really find anything that was better than what I had at the time, which is, you know, a problem. The bazaar's kind of broken. But I was like, "I can't really find anything, but thanks anyways." And he gave me like 10,000 credits right off the bat, which isn't a huge number, but for, you know, like a level 6 player, it's, you know, that's pretty good. So that was pretty cool. I haven't really tried to find groups or guilds quite yet. I have a level 10 Jedi and a level, I think he's 14 Bounty Hunter, but I think I might get rid of him. And I've been doing a lot of pilot stuff. I'm in Tier 2 for... my Bounty Hunter is a Tier 2 Privateer, and my Jedi is a Tier 2 Alliance Pilot, which is pretty cool, you know. Another thing I didn't really like was they limit you to 2 characters per server, which is pretty low, which I didn't really like, but, you know, what can you do? But overall, I like the game. It's a pretty decent game and keeps my attention, probably because I'm really into Star Wars. That's my main draw to the game. I don't think this game is really going to hold my attention for a long period of time. I'll probably only play it for maybe 1 to 3 months. You know, somewhere in between there. Because really there's no MMOs out there that I can really play at the time. But I'll be in there. You know, if you want to get a hold of me, I'm on the Bloodfin server. I have JRD Dyer and Bitty Bitty. Those are my 2 characters' names. So if anybody else still plays, you know, shoot me a tell. I'll chat with you on there. I was recently a guest on Co-Mutiny Live and had a conversation with Kami about Scientology and free speech issues. And I recorded the conversation because I know a lot of you don't listen to his show. So if you've already heard it on his live show, then skip about 15 minutes ahead, but here's the conversation between me and Kami.
We have, after that random piece of music, JRD on the line from the Born in the 80s podcast. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going? I haven't spoke to you in a while.
It's going all right. A little bit tired.
A little bit tired. You were just in the shower, which is why you're not on earlier on.
Oh, did you, like, pimp me or something?
Yeah, I had a little pimp and I was going to have you on when Q4Q came on, but it's cool. Now you, as far as I'm aware, disagreed with most of the points we made.
Alright, lay out your whole Scientology rap for people that didn't hear.
Okay, well, basically, basically I thought that they were on the touchy side for absolutely no reason. They got all worked out, they're misconstrued. You know, the way the BBC was misconstruing the religion, and they made this documentary, you know, saying that the BBC were liars and fakes, and they glorified themselves to the point of, like, ridiculousness. I just think it makes them look even worse than they did beforehand.
But what's the big difference between their religion and anybody else's religion? Other religions lash out just the same. Maybe not a whole documentary, but, speeches and things like that.
I am definitely not saying that they don't. And, you know, Christianity, you know, Islam, all of them do. But it's just that personally, I find that I don't know how to put it, Scientologists don't take it very well.
Of course not. They take it personal. They take it like attacking their religion. I would say, you know, they're not as touchy as some other religions. A lot of, like, radical Islamics would take it a lot worse and do a lot worse things than just make a documentary. And even back in the days, you know, you question somebody's religion, that was, you know, grounds for people to get killed or set in prison and things like that. So I think, you know, they're just they're an up-and-coming religion. They're trying to put their thing out there, you know.
Yeah, they're trying to put their thing out there, but one of the things that I think is just kind of ridiculous is, like, if you look at Christianity, for instance, you know, they kind of, for the most part, Christian people kind of can take it on the chin, or at least, you know, people with their heads screwed on, right? They can take it usually on the chin, and they're like, fine, mock a religion, whatever, I still believe it. Whereas, you know, as a rule of Scientology, where they're meant like they have they're almost expected to lash out at anyone that criticizes them.
Well, it's not exactly true. Most evangelical Christians have a very big media presence nowadays, and they tend to lash out. It may be on their like you know, their telethon type channels, but they make like a lot of speeches about when people criticize them. These people are working for the devil. I mean, if you ever seen the 700 Club?
I haven't. Oh no, yes, I have. I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, they just go off the deep end all the time.
In fact, I mean, Christians can be insane, but you know, I think we're straying slightly from the point, which was Scientology. It's just that they have these celebrity backers, and it's a very kind of high profile celebrity religion, so to speak. It's definitely they're definitely buying on the popularity of their celebrity backers. I mean, like, how many celebrities are Jewish or how many celebrities are Christians? But do you know what I mean? It's like Scientology. Guess who's a Scientologist? Tom Cruise is a Scientologist. It's like your religion can't have that good moral like beliefs and things if that's the way you're trying to advertise. I don't know. And also reading the rules of it and what's behind it, it just seems kind of ridiculous. I mean, what are your actual thoughts on the religion itself?
I find it funny. I think it's kind of silly. But I do not find it more silly than any other religion out there. They believe in the space aliens and that whole kind of angle. But is that really that crazy, other than, like, thinking Christianity, it's like, oh, this guy came down and he had magic powers and, you know, he was a
oh, I totally
crime
agree with that,
fighter,
you know?
Jesus,
it's
super
just,
Jesus.
It's just exactly ridiculous to believe, you know, zombie Jesus as to believe, you know, the Xenu story, which still cracks me up. I'm sorry, just cracks me up a lot.
I think a lot of people's problem with it is they have a move. At least I think it's a move. They're very upfront about wanting money from you, where most religions aren't as upfront about that. But they still want it. Then what they also do is they do this like personality test thing, so they can kind of identify, like, if this is a weak-minded person to try to, you know, convert to their religion, which all religions do those things to a certain degree, but they're just, like, really open about it, and it's in the forefront of their religion.
Now, I was told by a friend of mine that he read a story, and it was someone who left the Church of Scientology, and before he joined, the church, you know, asked him, because, you know, they were his friends, and he could trust them, you know, deepest, darkest secrets, tell them things, and apparently when he tried to leave and was going to, you know, publicly out them as being money grabbers, they were like, okay, fine then, we'll tell your wife that, you know, you cheated on her, and we'll tell your company that you've been stealing money and stuff like that. But I can't remember exactly I wasn't given any details as to what he'd done, but do you believe things like that? Do you believe that, you know, I mean, there's also allegations that L. Ron Hubbard wrote letters to other writers saying that he was going to start a religion?
Well, you got to think of it this way. You know, religion is a big business. It's the big business, if you want to think about it. And these people have, this is a relatively, you know, new religion, new business. So they're trying to protect their assets. I think a lot of people up high don't look at it as their religion, more of it as a business, and they have to continue to grow this business, so they're willing to wreck people. But, you know, if you look this in, like, historical context of what some religions have done to people who wanted to leave the church, this is pretty small, you know. I'm not saying it's right. Trust me, I find Scientologists very creepy, but, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
It, to some people, it just seems like they're so new that, you know, people like to attack them and things like that. Where, you know, if you want to make fun of the religion because it's ridiculous, but you got to kind of look at, if you're a really religious person too, how ridiculous is your own religion?
Yeah, true. Now, to go on, to continue this conversation tangent, you also disagreed with my views on free speech and censorship. True?
This is true. Lay out your whole little spiel you did, because
okay.
I think your recorded show is different from your live show, isn't it?
Yeah, well, people, we're going to put this out in the feed, but just to reiterate, I'll reiterate quickly. I think that what's been happening with the radio hosts, especially Opie and Anthony, which was on XM Satellite Radio, which, you know, their whole marketing campaign was un-FCC regulated, you know, home of the free speech. Do you know what I mean? They were artists. Anyone who had something to say could come on, if they could afford it, obviously, and be on satellite radio. They would not be censored. That was the whole point. When you listen to Open Anthony as well, you get a warning to tell you that it's extreme content. And for them to be fired because of the comments that they made, I think is... It might not be... I might retract the statement that it's an infringement on their freedom of speech, but a step in that direction.
See, you're coming at this from a wrong angle that I'm thinking of. It's the problem with their statements were they made fun of and talked about raping a person in the government that's pretty high level in the U.S. And XM Radio is trying to merge with Sirius Satellite Radio, and if they don't merge, XM's going to go out of business. So if, you know, if the government's looking over the fate of your business, do you want two stupid DJs talking about raping one of high officials?
Those two stupid DJs got them where they are. I mean, apparently a lot of people cancelled the subscription once they found out about the ONA stuff.
Well, you can look at it that way or not. I don't exactly know the ratings. I'm more of a Howard Stern fan. And yeah. When they got knocked off, free radio is because people started pulling away their advertisement. And that's how it works. You know, if as advertisement goes and they'll say, we're not going to put money in your company unless these guys are gone, they're going to be gone. And because that's the whole thing when it comes down to, it's not really free speech. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's looking at how much can these people bring in and can I replace these people to bring in more money? And that's what's kind of, what was their name? Elvis and whatever?
JV and Elvis, yeah.
Yeah, if they really had ratings, they could have said that kind of stuff, and there wouldn't have been a very huge backlash if they still, you know, made money.
But the thing is, they've been saying those kind of comments for around 12 years, apparently, they've been on air at that station. Same with Imus. He was on air for 20 years, and he's been making those comments, you know, all his career. So what changed? Like, are we to believe that his listenership just died over the past, like, year or months, or and that's what justifies it?
The problem is that the whole free FM structure in America has gone downhill significantly in the last couple of years, so there's not as much money going around. And the thing with Don Imus is he's been on the air for 20 years, but he's been a racist. There was a Mike Wallace interview where, off the record, he called a guy an N-word, and Howard Stern always tells the story how he used to call people N-words when he used to work with them, just right up to their face, calling them monkeys and things like that. So there was a long history before this incident. This was just kind of the tipping point with them, because they had this whole history to fall back on.
True. As a Howard Stern fan, are you worried about the existence of the show?
What do you mean?
With the way things are going, you know, these kind of shock jock, you know, DJs, they're all getting fired for, you know, comments that they're making. They've all got to watch their asses. Do you think that's going to pay a toll on Howard Stern?
No, because he does racial humor, but it's funny. The problem with a lot of these racial humor jokes is they weren't funny. You know, if they were funny, people don't have problems with these kind of things. Yeah. And, he has a long history of not being a racist or anything like that, and plus, he's in Sirius Satellite Radio, and he came over there and brought about 7 million listeners. He is the key to their company. Without him, they don't have a Sirius Radio anymore. So
true.
His job security is firm, because the reason he left Free FM was he was sick of the censorship. So, you know, if they tried to censor him, he would probably quit, and he would collect his money. I don't really worry with Sirius, because they get away with the problem with some satellite radio companies like XM was their whole thing was commercial free for a long time, other than they started putting commercials in. They changed their business model a lot, but Sirius Satellite Radio has stuck to their business model, and it seems a pretty secure company.
True. So, final point on this is the internet is the next step, in my opinion. No regulations on that yet. No one, you can, what we're doing right now, I mean, broadcasting live to the people that are listening live, putting this out on a podcast, which, you know, some people have downloaded through iTunes or, you know, off the website or whatever. Is this, do you think that's the key? Do you think that's where it's going? Because in all honesty, I would rather these things came to the internet.
I'm not really sure. The problem with internet type of radio is it's so splintered. It's kind of hard to get a large audience or a large following with a podcast or anything like that. And the government, the U.S. government, has been looking in limiting bandwidth and other things like that. The cable companies are really pushing for it in this country. So, you know, all this like free media on the internet might be gone in you know, 10, 20 years in America if some of these laws go through.
Well, you'll always have it with me in Scotland, because it's we're slightly behind with that. It is starting over here just now. You know, we are starting to get the saving the internet is, you know, starting. I just crashed. Kane said, internet radio in America is dead. They passed laws to make it dead. Yeah, I agree. I've heard a lot about that, and that a lot of services have went down. Things like people doing things like this, you know, have had cease and desists and, you know, threatened with lawsuits. I haven't had anything like that because, you know, I don't broadcast to that many people, but I'm worried.
See,
I'm worried, man.
With your comments, I didn't really have a problem with your comments. It was just the way you were looking at it, like the way you explained it, why you thought these guys got fired, is really not the reason. It all comes back to the money.
It all does come back to the money. That is true in the highest sense, because honestly, they wouldn't have got fired if they were making money. And it doesn't make any sense. For instance, the JV and Elvis thing, if they were making the company money, like if people were listening and people were wanting to sponsor them with adverts, they wouldn't have got fired. They would not have caved to the pressure. But then again, who are we to know that they didn't actually cave to the pressure and JV and Elvis weren't making them money? Do you know what I mean? We don't know what was going on in their heads, but you're right, it's most likely money, as it 99% of the time is.
I don't know, you just dropped out. I didn't know what you said.
Well, on that note then, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on and making me see this in a kind of level-headed way. I think Jake's a bad influence on me when I'm talking about this stuff. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't have a problem with Jake. I just like busting his balls. Because everybody does have that friend who, is he slow? Is he kind of retarded? We don't really know.
Nobody knows.
He's a nice
guy. Thanks for coming on. You've started up your podcast again, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Just got done with school last week, had a birthday, all that good stuff.
Oh, happy birthday to you, sir.
Yes. So, it should be coming out on a regular basis.
Hello?
You dropped again.
Okay. How old are you now, sir?
21.
Nice. Big 2-1. Would you like a song request? We'll try and sort it out before the end of the show.
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Well, you can send it to me. And we'll
all right.
Request. Anyway, thanks for coming on Born in the 80s podcast. It's a good podcast. I like it. You've got a forum. Tell people where to go.
Go to borninthe80s.com. That was almost a different address. borninthe80s.podomatic.com. I have a forum. Nobody really uses it yet. Probably because I took a month off. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. That was my conversation with Kami, and I had to set the Scotman straight. These things happen. If you want to learn more about a show, find out what time it's on, go to comutiny.blogspot.com. You can find all the details to his shiznit bizzle. And I think that will about do it for me for today. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at borninthe80s@hotmail.com. Also, you can get a hold of me at borninthe80s.podomatic.com. There's also a link to the MySpace and the forum there, which nobody's using the forum. You bastards. These things happen, though. I'm paying for it. I can wait you people out. I can wait, and I can wait, and I can wait, and I will. And till next time, chicks with mustaches creeps me out.